Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning, Indiana. As we again awake from the many unprecedented liberty-stripping mandates and the tragic loss of life of dear loved ones from the COVID-19 that have taken place these last several months, let us realize that the Apostle Paul clearly reveals to us that the mystery of iniquity is at work in the earth, more so now in the 21st century than even when Paul penned those noble words 2,000 years ago in the second book of Thessalonians. The man of sin, or the son of perdition, otherwise known as the Antichrist, is on the threshold to make his presence known on the world stage. But God has his restrainer, who has prevented this blasphemer from making his appearance for 2,000 years. My new sermon series is about the restrainer himself, who is the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead. The title of this series is The Messenger. The great 18th century evangelist George Whitefield, the father of the first Great Awakening, said the Holy Spirit was the least known, least loved, and least worshiped member of the Trinity. So, I will attempt to make him known to you these next several weeks. The primary work of the Holy Spirit is to transmit the resurrected Lord to mankind. He brought and still brings power and comfort to the Lord's church. He is also commonly known as a comforter. In this series, we will look at his person, who he is. I will discuss the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the day of Pentecost, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the temple of our body, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and the work of sanctification, the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit, and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, including the fruit of the Spirit, plus much, much more. Each Sunday here on Freedom 95, a new segment of each of my sermons, about 26 minutes worth, are played with a short overlap of the previous week to refresh your memory about the prior week's message. The topic of the Holy Spirit is immense, and I pray the Holy Spirit will draw you to listen this morning. Remember, a significant moniker for Crown of Life Baptist Church on this radio station, our website, and Facebook page is "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." When he is not present, neither is liberty. Just look at the many countries in the world today where liberty does not exist. My friend, Paul earnestly pleads with us to heed the Lord's ominous warning to quench not the Spirit. The Messenger, Part 6.
How do you think Christians get through plagues? We just went through one. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is our comforter. And do you know what? Lord, if you call me home now, or you let me live 10 more years, fine, I'm in your hands. I'm in comfort one way or the other. I don't have to worry about my utility bills once I go. God will comfort the rest of my family. I'll be in much greater comfort on the other side of death. So there's a comfort we have in the Lord. That assurance of where we're going to be, an assurance of our salvation. The Holy Ghost we talked about is the third person in the Godhead, the Trinity. The Holy Ghost is mentioned in the Great Commission. I'm just hitting some points that we talked about last time. We talked about the destruction of the primary passage in all of Scripture that deals with the Trinity in 1 John. And the pastor that I usually listen to coming up here on the way from the south side was talking about this passage this morning himself on his radio program, and but how the other versions have distorted 1 John 5, 7, and 8. We talked about the Spirit is recognized as God. We talked about this Holy Spirit is also called Lord. We talked about the Holy Spirit is called the power of the highest. The Spirit of glory. Then we're in Roman numeral 2. We're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we said John the Baptist, he said, I baptize with water, but one mightier than I am is coming, whose latchets on his shoes I am not worthy to loose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. When is the fire? The fire is future. At the day of judgment, God is a consuming fire. To go into his presence, you're going to have to pass through the fire. And that will be the baptism of fire. But he will baptize us with the Holy Ghost. And so then we see Jesus' baptism. They use a dove. A dove is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. It says here in the third bullet point under Roman numeral 2 in your notes, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, and the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And so it came in the shape of a dove. And we talked about the dove in the ark when Noah was in the ark and the rains had stopped, and he sent out a dove, and the dove the first time came back empty-handed. The second time the dove went out, it came back with an olive branch, olive oil speaks of the Holy Spirit throughout the scriptures. And so we revealed that last week, the importance of the olive branch. When we say in the world uses that term. The United Nations uses that term. Extend an olive branch. What are they saying? They're saying extend peace. Let's make peace. Let's come to some kind of agreement. And that's the picture of the dove coming back to Noah in the ark with an olive branch, an olive leaf in his beak, and gives it to Noah. It is God saying, my wrath has abated, my wrath has subsided, and now the earth is anew, and I'm extending a branch of peace, a condition of peace. And so we talked about the anointing oil and how David was anointed by oil. We talked about the oil, olive oil, that was put in the lamps in the temple that was to be always burning. Now you are called a temple, and you need to always be burning for the Holy Spirit, for God. And the oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. And so then we dealt with Jesus, and he was speaking. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. We're going to look at this directly. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Okay, Jesus is just returning back to Galilee in verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Okay, the synagogue, that's where Jewish people worshiped at that time, The synagogue was a place of, if you couldn't get to the temple, they had synagogues. Not everybody went to the temple every Sabbath day. If you lived in Jerusalem, you could, but not in Galilee. It was quite a bit of a walk. And so they had synagogues. And on the Sabbath day, he stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet. And it says Isaiah, but that's Isaiah. Again, transliteration issue. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now, can you keep your hand there for a minute and turn to Isaiah chapter 61. This is where Jesus was reading out of, Isaiah 61. And you'll see the close comparison. So Jesus is reading, the Spirit of the Lord, okay, verse 1, chapter 61 of Isaiah, he's reading from that. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Isaiah, they call the gospel, preach the good tidings, okay, another name for the Gospels. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now remember, we talked about, you heard in my message, if you were listening on the radio today, my message, it goes back to the message that I talked about, the intermediate state, where the Bible says that Jesus led captivity captive in Ephesians chapter 4. This is what he's doing. He's releasing people from the bondage of sin and from darkness to light. He's bringing them from darkness to life. That's what it says here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's speaking of himself because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And Jesus ended it right in the middle of verse 2. Why? He says, and he closed the book and gave it again to the minister. What was that reason? Two different times. Two different advents. The first advent is verse 1 and half of verse 2. The second advent is the second half and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. So the day of vengeance is still future. So he didn't preach that. He didn't read that. He came for the first part of chapter 61, verse 1 of Isaiah, and half of 2. The day of vengeance is the second advent. The day of vengeance is when he's coming back. That's when he's going to bring destruction upon the earth to those wicked who don't repent. And so he was saying that the Spirit of the Lord was upon me. Now stay in Isaiah there. I want to share with you something else. Here's another picture. What's interesting, this is where the Jews, the religious leaders in the Jewish time, didn't understand the two advents. Okay, what do I mean by two advents? The two comings of Christ. The two times that Christ would come to the earth. The first time he came as a lamb. Okay? He came as the Lamb of God. He came to bring deliverance. He came to bring redemption. He came to bring peace, to deliver comfort to us. The second time he comes, totally different appearance, he's going to bring judgment and he's going to pour out his wrath against the ungodly. And the two advents are sort of blended together, especially in Isaiah 61. Now, if you go to Isaiah 53, you see the first advent completely. But now let's look at Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. How do you diagnose that? How do you explain that? Rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. What does that mean? What does that mean? Who? It was David. David, King David. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root. Out of David. And who is the son of David, who's the eternal king? Jesus. Jesus was the youngest son of Jesse. And so you see David here and the Lord Jesus, the branch, okay? Because Mary and Joseph were both descendants of King David, and God made a promise to King David that his lineage, his posterity, his seed would sit on the throne forever and ever, and that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, The spirit of wisdom, there's that word spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the spirit of the Lord, or the fear of the Lord, will rest upon him. And he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear. So this is a picture of the first coming of Christ. And the sevenfold spirit, in a sense that he is filled with wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, might, fear, rests upon him. And he and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. And so it just talks about the Lord Jesus being filled. We see it again in, go back to Isaiah 63, verse 7. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed upon us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them, and in his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bared them and carried them all the days of old. Verse 10, but they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit, therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. This is talking about Israel. God fought against Israel. And he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him? And so you see the use of the Holy Spirit here in the Old Testament. Verse 14, and a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord causeth him to rest. And so there you see the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God mentioned in the Old Testament, talking about the prophecies of old, the prophecies to be fulfilled with Christ the first time coming, and then the second time coming, and the Holy Spirit doing all the moving. So, dealing with that, we see Peter in Acts chapter 10, in your notes, it says, Peter preached how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He was filled. He was anointed. It tells us again in 1 John chapter 2, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Boy, I wish I knew all things. Maybe I need more of an unction. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Brother Andy and I were talking about, and I told him, I just heard a preacher use the same phrase about seminaries. Seminaries are cemeteries for preachers. Brother Andy says they lose their anointing. Men of God, young men who go in there with great anticipation of doing great things, their drive has been driven out of them in the seminaries. Because the Holy Spirit does the teaching. And those seminaries are cemeteries. They're dead. The Holy Spirit's not in them. We need to let the Holy Spirit do the teaching. Okay, you all have heard, most of you in this room have heard Joey Faust preach. He didn't go to a seminary. He didn't go to a cemetery. He didn't go to a Bible college. The Holy Spirit taught him those things. In my life, I went to Bible college at the Baptist Temple just 1 year. Most of my learning, my graduate course, was just sitting at the feet of my pastor, learning from him day in and day out, and reading the Word of God and studying it and reading it again and again. The Holy Spirit does the teaching. The Holy Spirit is pictured as the wind. Note what Jesus says about the new birth. Except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's water baptism and being baptized of the Spirit, or being born again and being born of the Spirit. Except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's why you need a second birth, to be born again spiritually. We've all been born one time. Most of you have been born a second time. Amen? Amen. That wasn't loud enough. Most of you have been born a second time, amen?
Amen?
All right. And so we need that spirit, that the birth of being born again spiritually in our minds, a renewed mind in our thinking. And so it says there, Jesus went on, that he which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Here's this Holy Spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You say, uh-oh, what is that word, Pastor? That's an old King James Bible, means chooses or desires. Where the wind? And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So it is every one that is born of the Spirit. Now, I have done plenty of sailing on the high seas, and I can tell you what the winds do to a sailboat. The strangest things can take place in a moment of time. And you're sailing along, gradually enjoying your day, and you got your sails trimmed, and you're just back there at the helm. And all of a sudden, in the twinkling of an eye, and the sun still beaming, boom, the wind changes direction, and you didn't see it.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.